poor felt.
Ozzy looked around at the dark night.
I'm not really sure how I feel about you being here. If my parents find out, you'll be in trouble.
Right, I understand. The idea seemed good on paper, but in execution it has its flaws.
I don't think it looks good on paper or in execution.
Ah, there it is.
Rin located his shoe and slipped it onto his foot.
You have to understand, as a wizard, you can't be too careful. Those boys at Walmart would love to trick me into believing in metal birds and then making a fool out of myself.
What actually happened at Walmart? It must have been horrible.
I don't want to talk about it.
That's fine, but you should go.
Okay, to be honest, when I started following you, I thought you'd walk to some place on the outskirts of town. But then you just kept walking and walking. I considered turning around a few times, but I wasn't sure I'd find my way back. Now, though, I know I'd better wait for daylight before I try to get back. Do you mind if I just sleep here on the ground until things light up?
How about I lead you back?
Even better.
Ozzy circled around Rin until he was a good 10 feet in front of him.
Come on, follow me.
How can you see in this dark?
Easy, I grew up in it.
That's a great ability.
Really? I guess I've never thought of it that way.
They started walking, Ozzy always keeping 10 steps ahead of the wizard.
And you live out here?
That's not important.
Really? Because I think it is. Are you sure you're not a wizard?
Pretty sure.
Listen, if your family is out here doing something illegal, like making moonshine or fireworks, I want no part of it.
We're not.
Then why?
Again, it's not important.
Fine, fine. Then answer me this. Does the reason you live out here have anything to do with your aunt and uncle disappearing?
Ozzy stopped. Rin did the same.
They were last seen in this area.
Interesting. In Corfelt, we always consider the last spot anyone has seen as sacred. So this is sacred ground.
It's also the stuff of nightmares, Ozzy said, beginning to walk again. And what is Corfelt?
Most people aren't ready to hear about it, but since you live like a wizard, I feel I can trust you. Corfelt is a place not far from here, where all wizards live.
Really? Like an apartment building?
Rin laughed.
No, not at all. It's an entire land that fits neatly in the cracks and shadows of reality. It's right around you and me now. We just can't see it because our minds are cloudy.
Like Hogwarts? Ozzy asked with some enthusiasm.
I suppose, Rin said, if that helps you understand. It's a remarkable place, a breeding ground for wizards, and I was fortunate to spend almost 10 years there.
What brought you back?
It was time, Rin said with a sense of finality and pain.
Time for what?
I don't think this is the place to discuss it, Rin said, trying to keep up.
I think that the forest where you followed me is the perfect place to discuss it.
Fine. Something bad happened in Corfelt. Let's just say that I didn't finish a quest of great importance, and so now I'm here.
Will you be able to finish my quest?
Of course. This is reality.
How do you get to Corfelt?
When the time is right, you just see it. One day I was working on computers in my garage, and suddenly there it was, an unknown silhouette of mountains and forest right outside my home. I stepped into the foggy image, and my life changed forever.
Were you trapped in there?
No. Once you step in, you have no desire to be anywhere else. It was as if I had struggled my whole life to know my purpose, and in an instant, not only did I know, but I was engaged in achieving it.
Brilliant, Ozzy whispered.
Well put. Corfelt is brilliant.
Rin stumbled and quickly regained his footing.
You walk this far every time you come to town?
Yes, Ozzy said, turning his head to look back at Rin.
Is there a road to your house somewhere?
That's not important.
I think it is, because if there isn't, how do you get groceries or anything else to your place?
We manage.
Wow. Would you like me to do a spell of stone and rubble? Maybe get you a nice path from your house to... anywhere?
No, please don't.
Fine, just know that I'm capable of it.
Okay, so will you ever go back to Korfelt?
I hope so. As a wizard, it's my home. But I have things to finish here.
Like what?
Who knows? Clear communication is not something wizards excel at.
The two kept walking. Rin stumbled again.
This is one of the reasons why I wear a short robe, he said. Have you ever tried walking through a forest or the valley of death and light in a long robe? Just awful. It's like a cape. It's no good in an epic battle. Sure, there are some traditional wizards who refuse to go short, but to me, it makes much more sense.
Ozzy kept walking.
Okay, yes, the long robe looks cooler, but is being a wizard just about the looks?
Ozzy kept quiet.
Anyhow, Rin said, there are a few more things I would like to say about our quest.
You mean our quest to lead you back to town?
No, the quest to find your relatives. You know, sometimes the answers we seek are more painful than the longing we feel.
Ozzy didn't reply.
I read that on a billboard, Rin finally said. Not that I wouldn't have known it without the billboard. Something that people don't think about is just how wise wizards are. Korfelt is filled with sage advice and wise souls.
I've always thought wizards were really smart.
Thanks, Ozzy. My point is, your relatives disappeared for a reason. It might not be a good reason or a happy reason, but some brushstroke of reality painted them into a mystery. And not all mysteries end up well.
I understand, Ozzy said. Can I ask you something?
Of course.
I don't know anybody's life besides mine. To me, reality is a deep dark that I have to fight every day to make something beautiful and safe. But always, when the night comes and my brain whirs, the black comes back. I know that the answer to this quest might be sordid and heavy, but I think knowing will make the rest of my life more hopeful and the darkness less intense.
Wow, that could be on a billboard. Your family must really miss your aunt and uncle.
The sorrow Ozzy felt from the absence of his parents made it too difficult to keep talking. Rin said a few more things, but eventually they arrived at a point in the forest where Rin knew where he was and how to get home the rest of the way by himself.
You got it from here? Ozzy asked.
Got it. Thanks again. And I'll see your bird tomorrow at 2?
I'll probably be there as well.
Good. Then I'm going home to work on the magic right now.
Rin walked off, and Ozzy immediately turned and went back the direction he had just come. From the tapes of Dr. Emmett Toffee, Subject Number 3,
Timsby.
The weather in New York was mild, like a tepid soup with no seasoning. The zoo was filled with people who were interested in not being indoors at the moment. Families with strollers, elderly couples with walkers, and everybody in between. The crowds were larger than usual due to the fact that today was the first day the new polar bear cub, named Winnie, would be on display. The community, it appeared, was itching to set their eyes on the young wonder. Everyone crowded around the large outdoor display, staring at the mother as she played with her cub. The oohs and ahs of the audience were audible and loud. Children pointed, parents smiled, and the zoo employees looked on as if they had personally had something to do with the birth of the bear. A low wall surrounded the polar bear display. Behind the wall was a long line of shrubs, and on the other side of the shrubs was a shallow moat that kept everyone just the right distance from the mother polar bear and her newborn baby. Timsby had come to the zoo with his wife. They were both taking the day off to see the cub, and had walked hand in hand through the zoo gates, hand in hand through the zoo, and hand in hand as they stared at Winnie. But the hand-holding stopped when Timsby let go and pushed his way through the crowd to the wall. "Honey," his wife called out, "where are you going?" Timsby walked right up to the wall and in one smooth motion vaulted over it. The crowd's oohs and ahs changed to ohs and noes. Timsby pushed his way through the scratchy shrubs. "Get back from there, sir," one of the zookeepers yelled. But it was too late. Timsby leaped down into the shallow moat. His splashing caused the mother polar bear to take notice. The zookeepers panicked as Timsby's wife screamed. Timsby stood up in the water and began to walk toward the bears. Before he could get to them, four zookeepers entered the enclosure from the door. Two began to distract the mother bear while the other two successfully grabbed Timsby. Miraculously, he was hauled out without further injury or incident. He was taken to the police station 2 miles away and questioned for an hour. Timsby had never done anything like that. He was a prominent member of the community with ties to multiple charities and associations. He was on no medication and had never been treated for any instability. He also had no recollection of or excuse for what he had done. He was released into his wife's care and given a court date, then eventually fined and ordered to perform community service. Chapter 22. All Day Breakfast.
"So what is this place?" Clark asked. "It smells funny."
"You can't smell," I thought.
"No, I can't, but it looks like it smells funny."
"It's McDonald's, and it looks that way because we're hiding behind the dumpster. I'm sure it's nice inside."
"Have you been in there?"
"No, but there's a coupon in the ORVG for a half-price Big Mac."
"What's that?"
"I'm not sure. Still, half off is hard to ignore."
"Why don't we go inside?"
"I told the wizard you'd meet him out here. Besides, I still need to make sure it's not a trap."
"Wow. Who do you think you are, Oz?"
"I'm not saying that I'm important enough to set a trap for, but I can't be too careful. What if Wren's just an undercover cop?"
"Then why hasn't he already arrested you?"
"Trust me.
He seems like a wizard. That man couldn't be anything else. Can you picture him as a dentist?"
"Not really."
"What is a dentist anyway?"
Clark asked. "They work on people's teeth."
"What a weird species you all are.
I wonder if Wren will even show up."
"You thinking he just used you for that free egg yoinker?"
"I hope not," Ozzie said.
"You're still not convinced that wizards are real, are you?"
Clark asked.
"I don't know. What I need is for him to find my parents so that I can ask them those kinds of stupid questions."
The white compact car they had seen before pulled into the parking lot. It had two doors and a blue stripe that ran all the way around it. Wren was driving. He spotted Ozzie and pulled into an empty parking space next to the dumpster.
"Hello!"
he hollered through the open car window.
"You both showed up!"
Wren turned off his car and stepped out.
"I wasn't sure if you would. I even brought some bird seed in case it was just me and the bird."
Clark was flattered. "He can't eat," Ozzie informed him.
"I can chew."
"Good. Now, let's sit down so I can tell you what I've found."
The three of them moved to the McDonald's outdoor patio. Ozzie was so excited by the possibility of what Wren may have found, he couldn't sit down. He stood next to the table and bounced on his toes.
"First off, did you know that your aunt and uncle lived in New York right before they moved here?"
"Yes," Ozzie said.
"And that he was an inventor and scientist, and she was a psychologist?"
Yes, I think I told you all of that, Ozzy said, and began to feel a little less excited.
Well, look at this.
Rin pulled out a piece of white paper from his bag. It was a picture of Ozzy's parents when they were young and still in New York.
Wow, Ozzy said in awe. He had seen a lot of pictures of his mom and dad. There had been a few different photo albums inside boxes at the cloaked house, and there were other framed pictures sitting on the fireplace mantel. But Ozzy had never seen the picture Rin was holding.
Where did you get this?
Conjured it up.
From where?
It was taken by the university your mother and father worked at just before you were born.
Ozzy tried not to look shocked at what Rin had said. Clark didn't try at all.
Uh-oh, the bird said.
Ozzy backed up, trying to decide if he should bolt.
Listen, Rin said. I'm not going to chase after you if you run, but before you do, I just want to ask you a couple of questions.
Rin's sincere expression helped Ozzy decide to at least hear him out.
It appears that a while ago, Emmett and Mia Toffee mysteriously left their home in New York, and nobody has heard from them since. There was some investigation done in the New York area, but no clues were found as to their whereabouts. It seems that the only person in the world who knows where they went is you.
The color from Ozzy's face disappeared, and a new pale took its place.
You also said that they've been missing for more than 7 years, Rin continued. If that's the case, have you been living by yourself all of these years?
Ozzy could feel his emotions beginning to push up into the pale. This was not at all how he had envisioned this meeting going.
Listen, Clark spoke up. You don't know anything. I mean, you obviously know a lot, but that doesn't mean you can just go saying things.
Is it true? Rin asked. Have you been living alone since you were 6?
7,
Ozzy said softly.
I am so sorry.
You should be. Digging your beak into someone else's family business, Clark squawked.
So, how old are you now?
Rin asked.
14, I think.
Wow. This is a moment when even a wizard's wisdom is inadequate.
Ozzy was shocked, but he was equally surprised by the rush of relief he felt knowing that someone else knew the truth.
How does a 7-year-old survive on his own?
I had no choice. I didn't know what else to do. It wasn't easy or fun, and I don't remember all of it now. But I do remember the terrifying feeling of being alone and scared and desperate. Actually, it wasn't until I discovered Clark that I began to have any semblance of comfort.
Birds make excellent companions, Clark said. Ozzy tapped Clark on his head affectionately.
What are you going to do? Are you going to turn me in?
For what? The wizard asked. I don't see anyone who needs to be turned in. I see a resourceful person who has survived something incredible. You are more than you imagine and no less than remarkable. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find your parents. The only thing I ask is that from this point, we are completely honest with one another.
Deal.
You must know, Ozzy, that to a wizard, honesty is everything. And if we have to lie, we couch it in a riddle.
Fine, Clark said. If we're all confessing, I want you to know that I think that trash can over there is nice looking.
The trash can Clark was talking about was a big red metal one with a face painted on it. Ozzy shook his head with embarrassment.
Sorry, Clark sort of gets funny crushes on anything bird-related or made of metal.
Sort of, Clark said with disgust. This could be a grown-up relationship.
It's a trash can.
Don't tell me who to love.
You two are really lucky to have each other, Rin said.
You're like siblings. I'm older, Clark pointed out. I was built before Ozzy was even born.
Ozzy tapped Clark on the head once more. Rin smiled at the exchange and then let his expression grow somber.
Listen, Ozzy, I feel like now would be a good time to remind you of what I said yesterday. You know, the answer we might find could be something less than what you want. But with all you've survived, I think you understand that what lies ahead could end up with you being smothered and hurt.
It's still an answer, and from there, anything's possible.
Well then, let me return to my cauldron and give these things a chance to simmer. By tomorrow, I'll know where we must step next.
And you promise you're not just setting me up to turn me in?
Rin looked deathly serious.
Korfelt has taught me more than I can ever convey. But there is a loyalty that comes with fighting for the right thing. Our quest is as noble as almost any I have ever journeyed on. I might be a wizard that you look up to, but I am your companion now, and I won't rest until you have the answer you so desperately seek. Also, I kind of have this thing against helping the police too much.
Thank you.
There will still be a charge, of course, but I'll bill you by the quest and not by the hour.
Fair enough.
I prefer people say more than fair, Rin said.
Well, then, that's more than fair.
Hey, Clark said seriously, still staring at the painted trash can. You know, I'm surprising myself, but I think I might be ready for a real relationship. Stop thinking about that trash can, Ozzy pleaded. Let's meet up tomorrow, Rin said. 4 o'clock at Bites. I know it's not Thursday, but I think that's a safe place to meet.
I'll be there, Ozzy said. Wait, were we going to get something to eat?
They went inside, and Rin taught Ozzy how to order off the McDonald's secret menu. To Ozzy, it seemed like something only a wizard would know. They both got sausage McMuffins with 3 patties and hash browns sprinkled with cheese. To finish off the teaching moment, Rin let Ozzy pay for it all to show him how currency worked. Then, to make Clark happy, they took their food back outside and ate it on the table next to the trash can.
Chapter 23. Who's Got the Brains?
Ozzy wrestled with new feelings the entire hike home. It was exhilarating to know that Labyrinth was on his side. Not everyone had a wizard in their corner. It was scary to think that they might find answers, but the deepest dark came when Ozzy let hope creep into his soul. He knew all too well that some things, no matter how hard one hopes, never come to pass.
You okay? Clark asked as they entered the cloaked house.
Fine. Actually, better than fine. The charger should work now.
Ozzy moved through the boxes and climbed the starry staircase up to his attic room. He popped open the round window on the dormer and climbed out onto the crooked overgrown roof to retrieve the charger. Ozzy had left it in a spot that would receive the most sun.
Well?
Clark asked, having flown up from the outside. 100% charged. Ozzy climbed back in the window and sat on his bed. The afternoon sun spilled its wares in through the window and lit up the dark walls of the attic bedroom nicely. Ozzy pulled the tablet out from under his bed and plugged it into the portable charger.
How long do we wait?
How about now?
He turned the computer tablet on, and it came to life like a futuristic piece of machinery in the home of a woodland elf. The glow from the screen caused Clark to smile.
I like this thing.
No cheating on the trash can, Ozzy joked. Ozzy opened the browser and typed in bird pictures. It took a moment, but then, like a rainbow bursting into the room, thousands of bird pictures filled the screen. Clark's small eyes bulged.
Wow.
You've got to buy a printer so we can print some of those out and hang them in my room.
You have a room?
Yeah, the downstairs, which I've been meaning to talk to you about. Are we just going to leave things in boxes forever? Your parents probably didn't move all those in here just to leave them sitting around.
Talk of boxes reminded Ozzy of Clark asking once about how all the things in the cloaked house had actually gotten there. He quickly typed in, Moving Company, Otter Rock, Oregon. Two different names came up. U-Haul Storage and Moving, Doyle and Sons Moving.
Somebody had to deliver all of these boxes, Ozzy said. Maybe one of these places has a record of my parents moving here.
That was my idea, remember?
Ozzy clicked on the link for the U-Haul store and saw that it had only been open for 3 years.
U-Haul's out.
He went to the Doyle and Sons website next. On the landing page, in big letters, it read, Established in 1970. Ozzy wrote down the name and phone number for the business. Then he shifted his search to his parents. He typed in their names and pressed Enter. A few more entries popped up than at school.
There must be a different filter out here.
I have no idea what that means, Clark admitted.
It means you can see more birds and do a more thorough search. Look at this.
Ozzy pointed to a mention of his mother in a book about psychology. It also had a quote from her.
There is more to the human mind than synapses and contemplation. There are switches that exist, switches that can change emotions, thoughts, and even actions. Once we establish those connections, we can control ourselves in ways we never thought possible. Compulsive behavior will be a thing of the past.
What's that mean? Clark asked.
That my mom was smart.
We already knew that.
Ozzy found a few more mentions of his parents as well as the picture that Labyrinth had shown him.
I don't want to be that bird again, but do you think that maybe instead of wizardry, Rin the Off-White just did an internet search?
It's possible.
Ozzy typed in, Are wizards real?
There were hundreds of articles claiming that wizards were real, and hundreds that stated quite plainly that they weren't.
Ozzy read through them, looking for an argument that would convince him either way.
It looks like most rational people don't think they are real, Clark said.
Right, Ozzy agreed.
But sometimes rational people ruin everything.
That sounds like something Rin would say.
Ozzy clicked on a link and brought up a Portland newspaper. There was a small banner ad across the bottom that was trying to drum up interest for an event at a shopping center. Come meet the Cheese Wizard at the Washington Square Mall.
There are cheese wizards? Clark said in awe.
I think that's one of the fake wizards.
Ozzy reached out to click off the page, but before he could, the banner ad changed into an ad for a Portland attorney named Timsby Lane.
Timsby Lane,
Ozzy whispered.
Isn't that the street near the school?
Clark asked.
No, that's Time Lane.
Who or what is a Timsby?
My father mentioned a man by that name on one of his tapes. He was the guy who jumped into the polar bear cage, remember? I've never heard that name anywhere else.
Sure, but you don't get out much.
That's true, but still, Timsby?
I agree. It's a horrible name.
Ozzy set down the tablet and pulled out the box of cassette tapes he had near his bed. He dug through them until he found the one he was looking for. The tape player was sitting on the windowsill like it always was.
Ozzy kept it there so that it could catch as much light as possible.
He picked up the machine and put it on his bed. He ejected the tape that was in it and put in the tape he had found.
I don't understand, Clark said. How could it be the same person?
I'm not saying it is, Ozzy said as he fast-forwarded the cassette to find the spot he wanted. I just want to see if I'm right about the name.
Ozzy pressed play. I will never give up on the dream of making this so. I find that terrible discoveries are often the most informative. Ozzy stopped the tape and pressed fast forward again.
I used to be impressed with this technology, Clark said, but the tablet puts this to shame.
The machine clicked and whirred back and forth as Ozzy pressed play, then fast forward, then play, then rewind, then play again.
Or take, for example, the study of Timsby, subject number 3.
Emmett Toffee's voice filled the small attic bedroom like helium and made Ozzy feel lightheaded.
Timsby willingly displays the need for power and attention. As a young lawyer, he cannot see the world outside the law and personal achievement. But as a subject, he shows great possibility.
The tape stopped there.
Do you think there's a connection? Ozzy asked.
He looked at the tablet and saw that the page he had been on was no longer on the screen. Instead, there were dozens of pictures of birds.
What? Clark said defensively. I found the back button.
Ozzy typed Timsby Lane's name into the search bar.
There has to be a connection.
No way, Clark said. The Timsby your father was talking about was young.
He was talking about that Timsby almost 15 years ago.
Right. I'm not great with ages anyway, since I'm ageless.
There's always rust.
The screen revealed dozens of citations about Timsby Lane as a lawyer and about different clients he had helped. There was also some information on his family and the charity work he had done. According to one site, he had started his law career in New York. That bit of information gave Ozzy chills. But what cracked the case was an article about him from almost 15 years ago. It was a report on him jumping into a polar bear cage at the New York Zoo.
Just like the Timsby on the tapes did, Clark whistled.
That's something, right?
I'll say.
Ozzy and Clark did some more searching online, but they couldn't find anything else. Then they spent an hour looking at birds and various things made of metal. Clark enjoyed the search, but Ozzy's mind was a million miles away. Timsby was his first solid lead, and with it came his first solid hope. It was a wonderful and dangerous feeling.
Chapter 24. A Plan is Hatched.
Ozzy walked into Bites with Clark in his pocket and new information to share with Rin. The wizard was already sitting at the same booth, drinking a soda. Ozzy took his seat, and Rin smiled at him.
You look like you learned something overnight, Rin said. Maybe a full 3% wiser than when I last left you.
Ozzy smiled, and Clark climbed out of his pocket and hid behind the condiments on the table.
I don't know if I'm smarter, Ozzy said, but I might know something new.
Let me tell you first. I spent a good amount of time consulting the cauldron and talking with the spirits that roam through my abode. I think there might be much more to the disappearance of your parents than meets the eye. There are pieces that you and I have yet to discover.
Isn't that why it's a mystery? Clark asked from behind the steak sauce. I mean, if there were no pieces to discover, we wouldn't be here.
Such a knowing bird.
Have you ever heard of a cheese wizard? Clark asked, peeking out from behind the ketchup.
Rin thought about it for a moment, chewing on his lip as he thought.
I'm not sure that I have. I do have a second cousin in Corfelt who can do marvelous things with anything dairy-related. I saw him transform a cow into a boulder once.
Why would he do that? Ozzy asked.
In Corfelt, good boulders are much more valuable than cows.
Sounds like a lovely place, Clark interjected.
We're getting off track, Rin said. Please tell me what you discovered, Ozzy.
I don't know if it means anything, but my father left behind dozens of cassette tapes. They were hidden in the stairs. They're recordings of him talking about his work and his experiments and inventions.
There's actually a great tape where he talks about putting me together, Clark bragged. Riveting stuff.
I'm sure, Rin said kindly.
Right. Anyhow, my father mentions a number of people that he knows or that he's working with in one respect or another. Usually he refers to them as subjects or test cases, but there are a few exceptions where he names names. One he mentions is a man named Timsby.
Timsby?
Rin asked. Yes.
Unusual.
It gets weirder.
Really?
Rin asked.
Because Timsby is pretty weird. Do you think his parents were trying to be clever?
That's not what I mean by weird.
Maybe his father's name was Tim, Rin added, and his mother's name was Amsby.
Is Amsby a name? Clark asked.
The girl who used to cut my hair was named Ainsley.
That's not the point, Ozzy said, trying to steer two drifting minds back to the conversation at hand. The point is, I was doing research online, and I saw his name pop up in an ad for his law firm in Portland. It seems like humans do a lot of making up names, Clark said.
Please, Clark, Ozzy took a deep breath. We need to keep focused. This isn't about the weird name. Also, since we're looking for leads, I think we should talk about the Doyle Moving Company. Somebody had to have helped my parents move everything out to my home.
Okay, Rin said. That's not a bad direction either, and it would be easy to check out both. I say we look into this Timsby thing after we pay a visit to the moving company. I know Bo Doyle, and he owes me a favor.
What for? Clark asked.
Let's just say I once worked a number on his competition.
Who was that? Ozzy asked.
Well, Rin said proudly, there was this other moving company here in town, and I conjured up a couple well-placed spells so that they're no longer in business.
That's not nice, Ozzy pointed out.
They weren't very nice people.
And the Doyles are?
Well, the Doyles are good in the sense that Bo Doyle was willing to pay me.
Ozzy rubbed his forehead with his thumb and two fingers. His gray eyes darkened to fit his level of concentration.
You know what this means? Ozzy said.
I have less integrity than I thought, Rin answered.
Yes, that, but it also means there was another company that could have moved all of my parents' stuff out to the cloaked house.
Cloaked house?
That's what I call my home.
No wonder I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it because you got tripped up in moss. But it's filled with boxes, and somebody besides just my parents had to help move those, especially since there are no roads for miles.
Well, Bo Doyle's not exactly a friend, but he owes me, Rin said. He'll answer some questions, so we'll have some direction. That's a good thing. But no quest should begin on an empty stomach.
Labyrinth waved the waitress over and immediately ordered two eggy oinkers and two glasses of orange juice. Is one of those for me? Ozzy asked.
Of course. Also, you get to pay. I'm not sure how you have money, but it's really none of my business.
The waitress walked off, acting much less friendly than the one they'd had on Thursday.
I'd thank you for paying, but I consider the omelet as part of my fee. In a strange way, you should be thanking me.
Thanks, Ozzy said half-heartedly.
You know, we have a saying in Corfelt. Those who can, do. Those who can't, take from those who just did.
That's a saying? Clark questioned.
In Corfelt.
Sounds like a wonderful place, Ozzy said.
Indescribable.
Rin then took out a pack of regular playing cards and attempted to tell Ozzy his future. When nothing came to him, he bailed on the fortune-telling, and they decided instead to play a game Rin called Fours. After teaching the game to Ozzy, Rin lost two rounds. He pouted for a moment, but then cheered up considerably when the omelet arrived. The ways of a wizard are a strange and marvelous thing. Chapter 25. Doyle, Doyle, Doyle and Trouble. Ozzy had not been in a car since he was 7. The bus he rode to school was long and massive and not as fast or nimble as Rin's vehicle. They whizzed down the road, the experience feeling as magical as anything Ozzy had ever heard of a wizard doing.
"This was once an electric car," Rin said as he drove.
"Was?"
"Reality might not be my favorite realm, and I do care about the environment, but it was too slow. So I took out the engine and put in a better one. Now this thing has some real magic under the hood."
Rin pressed on the gas.
"Knowing that I'm helping my environment makes driving even more enjoyable."
"But it's no longer electric," Ozzy pointed out.
"Still, when it was purchased, it was. You'll understand these things when you get older."
"Will I?"
"Listen, Ozzy," Rin said, changing the subject. "When we get to Doyle's place, let's just tell Bo that you're my grandson."
"I can't say that."
"I know I seem way too young to have grandkids."
"No, you seem pretty old. It's just that I think I should stay in the car. The fewer people who see me, the better."
"Right. I'll just have to make you invisible."
"You can do that?"
"Of course. That's Wizard 101 stuff. I once turned an entire building invisible. Then I forgot to turn it back. When I returned to take the spell off, I couldn't find it. Someone's probably really upset about that."
Rin drove down Main Street and turned just past Volts. He took another turn on a street called Ponce and then pulled up to a big metal garage with moving trucks parked outside. There was a massive Doyle painted on the side of the garage with "Let Our Family Move Your Family" painted beneath that in smaller letters. Rin parked the car next to one of the trucks.
"Now, let's make you invisible."
"I don't know," Ozzy said.
"Don't worry, no one will see you. Keep Clark in your pocket and hold still."
Rin waved his hands and closed his eyes. His breathing became shallow and rapid. His eyes flashed open, and he whispered a chain of words.
"Kismon Alman Dean lose their sight we see unseen."
Rin opened his eyes.
"Well?"
Ozzy asked.
"It worked."
Ozzy looked down at himself. He could still see his body.
"I can still see myself."
"Of course. You're not invisible to you."
"Are you sure about this?"
100%. Come on."
Ozzy followed Rin into the front office of the moving business. Standing behind a worn and faded counter was a worn and faded man wearing dark glasses.
"Hello," the man said. "Can I help you?"
"You can, Bo," Rin said.
"Is that you, Brian?"
the man asked.
"It's Rin, remember?"
"That's right, Rin. I always forget about the change."
Bo didn't seem to notice Ozzy, but he didn't seem to be looking right at Rin either.
"I haven't seen you around, but then again, I haven't seen anyone around."
Bo laughed at his own joke.
"That's still funny," Rin said. "I have a question for you. I'm working on a little project, and I wondered if you might have a lead for me."
"Won't know if I do till you ask."
Rin took off his hat and scratched his head. It was the first time that Ozzy had seen him hatless, and he was surprised to see just how much hair he had. It was long and thick and all the color of charcoal. If Rin was 30 years younger and had a better outfit, he'd look a bit like a tall rock star. Rin put his hat back on and spoke.
"I'm wondering how far back your records go."
"Pretty far," Bo said. "We've got a lot of room to store things."
"I was wondering if you might have any information on a job you might have done about 7 years ago?"
"Maybe. Back then it was only me and a couple of guys who did all the moving. Of course, I couldn't do much because of the blindness."
Ozzy gasped.
"What was that?"
Bo asked.
"Just me," Rin insisted. "I've got a bit of indigestion."
"Happens to the best of us. Nice to know it happens to wizards, too."
"Sure. Thanks for that, Bo. Anyway, I'm looking for a couple who may have hired you to manually move hundreds of boxes to a cabin deep in the woods. They would have been packed in over a number of miles."
It doesn't ring a bell.
Really? This would have been an unusual job.
Do you have a name?
Yes, Toffee. Mr. and Mrs. Toffee.
Let me go ask my son.
Beau got up and walked slowly out of the office through a back door, leaving Ozzy and Rin alone.
I'm not invisible, Ozzy whispered. He's blind.
He might be blind, but that doesn't mean other people can see you.
And why did he call you Brian?
That's a long story.
How long? I'll tell you later, I promise.
Beau came back into the office, followed by another man who looked like a slightly younger copy, minus the dark glasses. Ozzy stood perfectly still, hoping the invisibility was a real thing.
Hello, Brian,
the second man said.
It's Labyrinth. Remember, Phil?
Right, Phil said. Well, neither of us have any memory of any such job. And according to our records, we've never done work for anyone named Toffee.
Well, that's what I needed to know, Rin said quickly. I'll be on my way.
Rin turned and began to push Ozzy towards the door.
Wait,
Phil said in a friendly voice. Who's that you got with you? Rin sighed.
You can see me? Ozzy said.
Of course, Phil said. Are you related to Brian? I mean, Labyrinth?
Yes, he is, Rin said. He's my nephew, Crimsdale.
Phil stepped out from behind the counter.
Really? I don't remember you having any nephews.
Well, I do, and here he is.
Phil extended his hand to Ozzy.
Nice to meet you, Crimsdale, was it?
Yes,
Ozzy said, his face turning red over the dumb fake name Rin had given him.
Well, Crimsdale and I need to go, Rin said again. Family stuff.
Hold on just a sec.
We're pretty busy,
the wizard insisted.
Right, with your spells and family stuff.
Ozzy was trying very hard not to sweat. The way Phil was talking to them no longer seemed friendly.
What's the story here? Why would you want to know about us moving things from so long ago? And I know your family, Labyrinth. You don't have a nephew.
Genealogy is complicated,
Rin tried.
He's the half-son of my third cousin completely removed.
Ozzy kept willing Rin to just stop talking and take out his wand. Phil looked at Ozzy.
Is everything okay here, Crimsdale?
Everything's great. Have a magical day,
Rin said while pushing Ozzy through the door and outside. Phil called out after them but didn't make a move.
Go faster,
Rin ordered as they ran to the car.
Crimsdale?
Ozzy asked, still baffled by the name.
It was the name of my first goldfish.
Crimsdale?
In Corfelt, it's a noble moniker.
We're not in Corfelt.
Don't remind me,
the wizard said.
Now get in the car.
Ozzy climbed in and Rin started the vehicle.
Buckle up!
Phil wasn't chasing them, but it still felt like a good idea to go fast. Rin pressed on the gas and the small car shot off like a rocket.
Why didn't you just take out your wand and freeze them?
Clark asked as he hopped out of Ozzy's pocket and up onto the dashboard.
It wasn't the right time.
When is?
You need to understand something, Rin said loudly. Being a wizard is a responsibility. You must choose your moments of power wisely.
What about me being invisible? Ozzy asked. He was just blind.
Was he?
Rin asked, trying to make it sound like a wise question.
Yes.
The invisibility must have worn off. The point is that we got the information that we needed, and now we know the Doyles are no help at all.
So what now?
Ozzy asked.
We're going to see Ed.
Who's Ed?
He used to own the moving company that I cursed out of business.
You think he'll talk to us?
The adventure is in not knowing.
Well, there's one thing I do know, Clark spoke up. And that's that Ozzy and I both feel uncertain about all of this.
Then let's see where uncertainty takes us.
Rin stepped on the gas, and the little car careened down the highway. Chapter 26. A Question of Great Importance. Rin headed away from town.
Why are we leaving Otter Rock?
Ed lives in Bell's Ferry. It's about 10 miles away.
This is the direction I live.
I know. I remember the hike well. My knees still hurt.
Can your car make it that far?
Ozzie asked, having really no idea how cars worked.
It's my ex-wife's car now, and yes.
You were married?
For 15 years. We got divorced about 10 years ago.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't a great time for me.
But she still lets you use the car?
Let is a strong word. She's just not always around to stop me. I souped it up, but she got it in the divorce. That doesn't seem fair.
Don't you have a broomstick to fly on, or can't you travel by flue powder?
Wizards travel many ways. I left my broom in Quarfell.
Why?
Rin was silent for a minute, letting the rumble of the car moving over the road be the only audible conversation.
Is that a question you don't want to answer?
Ozzie finally asked.
No, it's fine. You need to know that I had no desire to abandon Corfeld. When I did, it was swift, and I had to leave a number of things I loved behind, such as my broom.
Sorry.
Things happen for a lesson.
Hey! Clark said, standing on the dashboard and pointing out the front window. There's the train tracks!
The small car bumped over the tracks.
That's where I used to get on the school bus, Ozzie explained. Mr. Guta wouldn't stop for me, so I just stood by the tracks. He has to open the door to check for trains because it's the law. That's when I would hop on.
I'm not surprised you figured that out. Did you know that spirits board school buses in just the same way? They float down the tracks and hop on buses when they need to change direction.
Is that true?
Ozzie asked.
Yes, Rin said. Have you ever felt anyone else waiting with you at the tracks?
I don't think so.
I have, Clark said. Sometimes when I'm waiting for Ozzie at the tracks, I see things blowing around. Last week I saw a bag just drifting up and down.
That was probably Harold.
Of course, the bird said, having no idea who Harold was.
It's quite remarkable that you two lived out here alone for so many years,
Rin said sincerely.
It didn't feel remarkable, Ozzie said. It felt like reality.
Still, it's hard to believe that you powered through such an ordeal. You can read, can't you?
Yes, my mother taught me to before she was taken. I read all the children's books we had in the house. After that, I read all my parents' papers, then all the books they'd left in boxes. It was a really great day when I discovered a few crates filled with fiction.
That makes sense. Reading can sustain you and Corfeld. A wizard can go weeks without water, but only days without books.
Strangely, that makes sense to me, Ozzie said.
Of course. It's reality that has everything backwards.
Each mile they drove, Ozzie could feel his life opening up more and more. He had never traveled this far in this direction.
There are kids out here that go to Otter Rock High, Ozzie said. I know there were at least 7 who rode my bus.
I think the school district goes all the way to Bell's Ferry. When I was a teacher, I had a few students who lived there.
You were a teacher?
A long time ago.
What did you teach?
History and math.
Why'd you stop?
Well, let's just say that when you become a wizard, everything changes.
I bet, Clark said. You didn't dress like this before, did you?
No, I used to wear a dress shirt and tie just like every other wampin.
Wampin?
The normals, you know, unwizardly humans.
So, kind of like muggles?
I suppose, Rin said. But wampins is a better word.
I disagree, Ozzie said.
J.K. Rowling got a lot of things right about our world. She also made a number of improvements and mistakes.
The residents of Corfelt used to turn their noses up at her story, but not anymore. Now they have Dumbledore days. It's a week in May where all the wizards just go nuts. You know, put away your wands and robes and wear sandals and ball caps.
That's your definition of nuts? Clark said, sounding bothered.
Some of us braid beads into our beards.
Sounds crazy, Clark chirped. How much farther? Ozzy asked, more interested in the journey at hand.
Just a couple more miles.
So now that the Doyles are onto us, what do we do? I don't think it's wise for me to walk around town anymore. Plus, people are going to ask you questions about how you know me.
Maybe, Rin said. But you'd be surprised by how far out of the way people go to not talk to me. Let's just have a conversation with Ed, and then go from there.
Ed lived in a modest trailer in a modest neighborhood tucked behind a short, flat, tree-covered hill. He welcomed Rin and Ozzy into his house, even though his history with Rin wasn't great. Ed had bad posture and neglected teeth. He was older than Rin and not as kind-looking. Ozzy and the wizard sat down on two padded dining room chairs that Ed pulled into the family room next to his lazy boy. All three of the chairs were positioned around a large TV. Ed had graciously muted it so they could hear each other.
Thanks for talking with us, Rin said.
No problem, Ed replied. It's a bad TV time. Wheel doesn't come on for 20 minutes, and heaven knows I can't stand Jeopardy. Pretty sure some of those questions aren't even true. What can I do for you?
First off, I'm sorry about what I did in the past.
Listen, Brian,
Rin, whatever,
Ed said, seemingly bothered by the new name.
Like I've told you countless times, I don't blame you for my business going under.
You have the charity of a wizard.
It ain't that, it's just that I was no good with drumming up business. We were about to fold anyway.
That's kind of you to say, Rin said humbly.
Who's the kid? Ed asked. And what's the deal with his finger?
This is my nephew, and his birthmark is a sign of intelligence. He's working on a paper for school and is doing some research. That's why we're here.
I'm not a man with great imagination, but I can't for the life of me imagine what I could know that would be considered research.
It's about your old moving company, Rin explained. Ozzy's doing a paper on a couple who moved here about 7 years ago.
I have a hard time remembering what happened last week, Ed confessed. But if I can help...
Rin looked at Ozzy and prompted him to speak with a nod.
The people who moved here would have moved into a cabin in the undeveloped forest, Ozzy said.
There's more than a few of those houses around here. People like to hide.
Right, Ozzy continued. This cabin is about 5 miles outside of Otter Rock and doesn't have a single road or drive going up to it.
Ed squeezed his bulbous chin like it was a tennis ball. His eyes twitched, and he let out two soft snorts.
They moved from New York and had hundreds and hundreds of boxes, Rin added.
Ed's eyes widened.
You do know them,
Rin said, having picked up on Ed's body language.
Of course,
Ed said. He sighed and took a big breath as if he was suddenly exhausted.
It was one of the hardest jobs we ever had to do. Me and my men hiked those boxes and furniture miles into the woods. There were so many boxes that it practically filled up the cabin. It took us forever to move all that stuff, and my back hurt for weeks after. The man paid us in cash and told us he'd appreciate us not telling anyone they were there. I asked him how much he'd appreciate it, and he gave me an extra $500.
Do you know anything about the man?
He had a wife and a child, and he didn't want to give me much more information than that.
No last name? Ozzy asked.
Not that I can remember. He must have been nuts moving his family out there with no roads or electricity. Some people are crazy, but
Oregon is like Mecca for the weird. Anything else you can tell us?
I know we owned a lot of land. We had to figure out how to get the stuff there, and we were concerned about trespassing over other property.